Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message. All right. Good morning, everyone. Happy Luau Promotion Sunday. How are we doing today? Good. Hey, let me hear a little cheer from our freshmen who are in the room today. Yes. Hey, high schoolers, let's give them a big warm welcome for being in here today. Sweet. Hey, for those of you in here, this is your first time in here as a new freshman into the high school ministry. Let me just say this, guys, I'm really looking forward to get to know you. And let me just say, this place is pretty special. Okay, there's a lot of students in here that are going to start to feel a lot like family. Okay, so this is a really great space for you guys to be in. Super excited to get to know you guys over the next 4 years. If you don't know who I am, I might as well give an introduction for myself. My name is Zach Thompson. I am the high school pastor. I am actually now starting my second year as the high school pastor here, which is crazy. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but the majority, yeah. Oh, thanks. Majority has been through COVID, but that's okay. I'm excited to start to see all of your faces again. Born and raised Bloomington Normal. So I grew up here, went to Grove Elementary, went to Chittix Junior High, went to Normal Community High School, okay? So I was born and raised Bloomington Normal. I'm a big sports guy, all right? Kentucky sports and Cubs baseball are my jam, okay? That's me, and kind of the biggest news about me is I just recently got engaged about a month ago. Got engaged to Ritasha, who happens to be the sports pastor here on staff too, and a lot of you would say this, but she's a lot cooler than I am. A lot of you students would agree with that. She's pretty great. So, yeah, so anyway, I want to start this morning when we get into this series talking about every day. And I just want to see if some of these things are worth it to you guys, what I want to do here. So I was kind of disappointed we didn't drink any soda this morning. And so here's what I want to do. I want to grab these. Okay, let's start with some buffalo wing sauce soda. Does anyone just want to come up here and drink this right now? Somebody come up here. Somebody come up here. Okay, KJ, come on up.
I'm kind of nervous about this.
Okay. It's a little tight. Okay. All right, KJ, why don't you just, I don't know, drink half of that for me, will you? Just start drinking it. What you got? Oh my. How's that?
Tastes like Orange Crush.
Orange Crush. Okay, you can. Why don't you go have a seat? Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. Well, I don't want this. I don't want that. Okay. All right. Okay. How about some sweet corn soda? How about some? Now, hold on. A lot of you guys are like, no. Well, let me provide a little incentive, okay? I've got $5 to Kroger. who wants $5 to Kroger and come drink this sweet corn soda? Jordan, you're coming up already. All right, come on up, bro. All right, you want to open that one?
It's kind of tight.
It's a twist top. So yeah, grab the shirt and there you go. Okay. Why don't you just like drink half of that or something? Yeah. Or chug a little bit. A little. Oh! Okay. All right. That's good. That's good.
It's not that bad.
Not that bad.
It smells bad, but it's not that bad.
Not that bad. Sweet corn. Hey! Dude, Kroger gift card. There you go. You're still drinking it. Congrats, okay? Go get you some groceries. All right, I've got pumpkin pie soda now. Okay, you boys are way too... okay, you just want it. You just want to drink it. Okay. Hold on. Yeah, use your shirt and... Okay. It's kind of good. All right. There you go. Enjoy. All right. Mari drank the... Here's the thing. It's interesting. I had two Starbucks gift cards up here. And a Chick-fil-A gift card. So, let's do this. All right. Let's have someone come up here. I'm willing to give you $10 to Starbucks if you come up here and sing a nursery rhyme. Sing it loud. Who's coming up? Oh, Emerson! Okay. Sing it loud and proud, a nursery rhyme. Get like through the whole verse. Oh, yeah, true. Okay, hold on. I got this one. We got to get it loud and proud. Okay. Handheld four, everyone. Okay, it's on.
Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, just white as snow.
Snow, okay.
Almost forgot that.
Hey, there you go, $10 to Starbucks. Congrats. Okay, all right. Okay, one more thing. I've got $5 to Chick-fil-A. New freshman, just come up here. Who wants it? New freshman. Boom, there you go. Okay, all right, I'm out of gift cards now. All right, so why did I do that exercise? Why did I offer sodas up? And some of you guys just came up and just drank it willingly without even accepting an incentive. Here's the thing. Here's what I want to get at. We esteem value on something based on what I deem is worth it. For some of you, I offer up a Lester soda, and it's worth just coming up here and drinking, like KJ. I didn't even offer you anything. You just came up here and did it. Same with Mari, too, right? For some of you, you're like, no chance I would ever do that. But when I offered the gift card, then you're all of a sudden like, oh, okay, maybe it's worth it. For Jordan, Kroger, you know, $5 groceries, right? And then maybe for some of us, we're still like, no chance I would ever do that, but maybe if I offered up $10 to Starbucks, then it seems a little more worth it to us. You see, the value of something is deemed by what I say is worth it. And so in order to understand the value of it, the one who offers it, I have to calculate, what is this going to be worth to a high school student? Now, did I know that some students would come up here without me offering any gift cards? Yes, because we have students like KJ and Mari in our ministry, okay? But I also knew for some of you, you're like, no chance I would ever drink that. But as soon as you hear, oh, a little money involved, then it changes a little bit, right? But it's actually a pretty stressful situation when you think about the business world trying to offer up things and say, what is someone gonna pay for this? People determine value by thinking, what is someone going to pay for this? What is this worth to someone? You probably learned this when you were really young and you did your first lemonade stand. All right? How many of you guys have done a lemonade stand in your life before? All right, how much did you sell the lemonade for? Typically what? 25 cents, okay? Maybe 50 cents if you broke out the strawberry lemonade, okay? Now, did anyone ever try and ask for more when selling their lemonade? Not a lot of us, a couple, Mari and Emerson, you guys are just killing it today. All right? But here's the thing. If I were to bring out my lemonade stand and I were to say, I'm going to charge $2 for a cup of lemonade, I'm assuming not a lot of people will come except the parents and maybe like a sibling that was given $2 by the parents. Okay? That's who's coming to get the lemonade, but it's actually a really stressful situation. Now, let's bring this all together. It's a stressful world when we have to constantly be thinking and planning for what will this be worth to the world? What is this worth? And let me tell you something, there is nothing more damaging and pain-filled when we start trying to do that with ourselves. When we start asking the question, what am I worth to the world? We start to ask questions, what am I worth? What value do my teachers, my friends, my family put on me? What can I do with my life to make me more valuable in the world's eyes? Those questions, they seem harmless at first, but when we start to place our identity in the values that others place on ourselves, we begin to be trapped on whatever they say about us or whatever they think about us. That's who we are. If our whole value is based on what people deem is worth me. Have you ever felt trapped, weighed down by the expectations, by the words, by the thoughts of other people? If you don't know, let me ask a few questions just to see if maybe this has been you before. You've been weighed down by these things. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong, but you did it anyway because you were afraid of what someone might think? Have you ever stressed about a picture you posted on Instagram or online because you were obsessed with how many likes it would get? Let me say that. You know those posts that sometimes people post the with the caption, felt cute, might delete later. You know those posts? I might be calling out some people here. Okay? I told Ritasha about those posts this week. She didn't know what they were. I'm like, I've seen those posts all the time. What those posts are is it lays an excuse to where I like this picture of me, so I'm going to post it, but I'm giving myself an excuse to delete it if I don't get a bunch of likes, right? We have stuff like that. Have you ever done something and gotten compliments galore, gotten tons of compliments for something you did, but you couldn't be happy because of one negative thing that someone said about you, right? Or have you ever done something you thought was really great and you started to obsess over, is someone going to compliment me? Is someone going to say something good about me? Right? Or have you ever dressed a certain way, said something, done something with the primary motivation of thinking about impressing someone? Hey, fellas, I'm going to need you to pay attention up there, okay? If any of those things you guys have done before, if you've ever asked those questions of yourselves, I would suggest that you struggle with running to the world for your worth. You struggle with deeming your value based on what the world says. And let me tell you something, the world's gonna disappoint you every single time. The world's gonna disappoint you every single time that you go to the world and say, what am I worth? It's gonna disappoint you because the world offers fake value. And that value is fake because there's tons and tons of sin in the world. There's always gonna be corrupt value and worth that the world deems. Anytime you seek your worth, your value, your identity from something that is not perfect, you will inevitably be searching for somewhere to find that value. That's not going to be enough for you. It's why I think you see more and more students, more and more stories of high school students struggling with depression and anxiety and mental health, because the feeling of not feeling valued is overwhelming. It is overwhelming to not feel valued, to not feel chosen, to not feel accepted. But it's also, I would contend, why there are so many stories you hear now of high school students that are maybe sleeping around, getting into drugs, wrestling with sexual identity, giving into peer pressure. They're doing these things because at the root of who we are is we want to feel loved, we want to feel accepted, we want to feel valued, we want to feel chosen. And I have a word for everyone in this room that has struggled this morning with your worth, struggled with feeling valued, struggled with feeling accepted. The only one you should put your identity in, the only one you should put your worth in, the only one that you should put your value in that will not disappoint you or ever let you down is in a perfect God. And I have a passage for you guys this morning. It's 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, it's towards the end of your Bible. If you go back and you kind of get towards Revelation, it's not far in front of that. We get to 1 John chapter 3, and it's a shorter book, and it's here that John is going to say what your identity should be found in, what truth you should lay your life on. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears, but we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Now, I know you've heard this before. It sounds so simple, but when you think about it, it's really bigger than what we might understand this to be, and that is that you are a child of God. That is your identity. You are a child of a God that is perfect, that has the perfect understanding of your value and your worth, a God who is the very definition of love, the perfect example of forgiveness and of patience, the God that gives you his grace freely. Your worth is found in him. Your worth should not be found in the imperfect things, because you're going to find that it's disappointing. You're going to find that it's not enough. If you find your worth in something that is perfect, that will be enough for you. So students, stop looking to other people or to things to find value and acceptance and worth. And that is so hard for a high school student to do. That is the epitome of high school, is looking to others and trying to find value and worth. And let me just say this, it's not wrong to want to find those things from other people. It's not wrong to want that. We want to feel loved and valued by our family and by our friends. We want to feel seen at school. We want these things. Shoot, that's called being a human being. That's at the nature of who we are. But when those things are the foundation of our identity, if our feelings, our emotions, our lives are based on the opinions, the actions, the words of someone other than a God that created me, then we'll always be searching for something more. We will always be searching for something more, and we will never feel completely valued and worth it. This morning, today, we start this series called Every Day, and we wanted to do this because it's time we really understand why we push every day in ECU students, why an everyday faith is so important. And it starts this morning talking about everyday worth. You wanting to feel valued, you wanting to find your worth, that is actually an everyday thing. Things like, man, is this boy or is this girl going to text me today? Is my friend going to invite me to actually hang out with them this time? Even things like, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to do with my free time today? How am I going to treat my mom or my sibling? All of those have everyday worth implications. At the root of all of those things, you are saying something about how you view yourself, how you value yourself, how you see your worth. And if you wake up every morning and understand that you are called a child of God, and one day, as this passage says, you're going to be like Jesus, then the value you place on other things goes down. It goes down. Because there's something that changes in us when we completely feel valued, when we feel love unconditionally. Something changes in us to where the opinions, the words of others, those don't matter as much, because I rest in the value and the worth of my God. Right? And those things kind of go away. The things that maybe used to bother us, like not getting the approval I wanted, not getting the likes on social media that I wanted, not getting the attention, not getting the success I want in things, that won't bother us as much. Because every day when you lay your head down at night to go to sleep, all you have to ask the Lord is, do you still call me your child? And the answer will never change there. It will never change. It will always be yes. And that's all that really matters. That's all that really matters. If that truth doesn't change, then the things that we think matter, the things that we blow way out of proportion in terms of our value and our worth, those things kind of dim away, because we understand that the real thing, the only thing that matters, is that God calls me his kid and that he loves me. Now, does that give me an excuse to go around and do whatever the heck I want to? No, because a parent still punishes their child, still corrects their child, still wants them to be better. I stand up here today as the pastor of our high school ministry, and some of you may look at pastors and say, well, that's like man, that's like the holy, the almost perfect, the got their life together, the child of God. Guess who in the Thompson family got spanked the most? Me. But here, more seriously, guess who also every day struggles with pride, struggles with lust, struggles with lying, struggles with gossip, struggles with anger, struggles with being judgmental? Me. Every day. But I go back to the everyday worth piece found in this passage in 1 John that says I'm a child of God, and whenever I mess up, whenever I feel extremely guilty, guys, whenever I question, why in the world am I leading high school students with my life? When I ask and I feel those things, I get down on my knees before bed, and I just ask, God, can I still be your kid? And God's probably like, Zach, quit asking me that. But that's the crazy thing that sometimes I can't wrap my mind around, that every time I mess up, the everyday things that I struggle with, I can still ask that question, God, can I still be your kid? And every time, yes. Somehow, some way, I get to be a child of God. Now, it's interesting in this passage, it says here after the first verse, but the people who belong to the world, they don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him. You'll find that in the everyday struggle, that in the world, those that don't know Jesus, they don't understand what being a child of God is like. And sadly, when people don't understand that, they say hurtful things. They cast judgment. They label you something you're not. Because they don't know him. And here's the thing, whenever the world, whenever someone in your life tries to come at your identity and who you are as a child of God, instead of shying away or feeling attacked and wondering if following Jesus is even worth it, it might be helpful just to think, you know what? They just don't know him. They just don't know God like I do, and that's okay. This past week, I had a couple of my friends come for our adult basketball open gyms that happened. These two friends I've known since high school, they don't love God. In fact, they actually hate God. They hate the church. But they came and played an open gym basketball, and I hung out with them. And I remember one of the comments, one of the guys, he could not make a shot. And he made the comment to me, he's like, it's like the hoops know I'm a sinner. And I said, no, I think it's because you're not putting enough arch on your shot. You're shooting like a rocket. But then I'm like, okay, well, let me say something. And I'm like, well, you could come and check out Eastview. I'm like, maybe it'll help with your shot. And he turned to me and he said, no, I don't want to make shots that bad. And like immediate shutdown on me in wanting to say something about my faith and inviting to church, immediately shut that down. And at first I'm like, dang, like you really just shot me down. You didn't want to hear anything about that. But then I thought, you know what? He just doesn't know the God that God loves him. He just doesn't understand and know God like I do, and that's okay. And one day I pray he will. Don't be afraid to live in the confidence that you are a child of God, because even if others try to come at you for it, to try to say that your worth shouldn't be found in that your worth should be found in the world, just remember, they don't know him like I do. They don't know him like you do, and that's okay. That you can rest in the confidence that you have the utmost value and worth in God. Now, I want to end with this, and the band, if you guys want to go ahead and come on up, I want to end with this idea of worth, and what am I worth, and what is my value? Because in the beginning, right, we did all these things that I asked, what are these things worth to you for drinking these sodas? What's this worth to you? And the question is, why is my value, why is my worth so high, like child of God high? Because Jesus looked at each of you and said, you are worth the most brutal death in history. You are worth that to me. I will die on a cross for you because you are that valuable. And if anything, remember that truth every day, in the moments where you don't feel valued, where you don't feel accepted, where you feel like your life is just not worth it, rest in the everyday truth that Jesus looked at you and said, you are valuable, you are worth it, you are my child. Jesus said, you were worth it, and you now have a promise of being his kid forever. I will preach that every day to you guys until you know that. And I pray that with your life, you will preach that to others too. Let me pray. God, this morning, I pray our students know their worth. They know their value, that every day they rest in the truth that they have a God that loves them so much that he would send his son, Jesus, to die on a cross. And God, as the world tries to attack those values and that worth and to say that that's not who they are, God, I pray they'd rest in the confidence that that is who they are, that is the truth. And that, God, you move mightily and you work mightily in our lives every single day. God, would we know that we're worth it, that we're valued, because, God, you said so. So I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.